welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. Through good and tough times, you need a bank that will stand by you. Texas Citizens Bank gives Houston small and medium-sized businesses the resources they need to thrive. As one customer says, a huge thank you to our friends at Texas Citizens Bank. Great customer service and down-to-earth good people. Call 713-948-5700 to learn more today. My guest for the show is Pamela Singh, CEO and co-founder of Case Control, a Houston-based health tech startup that uses AI to optimize surgical scheduling. Pamela is no stranger to the Houston innovation ecosystem, having participated in GBeta Houston and several pitch competitions. And today she shares her journey as a female founder focusing on the slow-to-adapt healthcare industry, as well as explains what she and Case Control has on its horizon in terms of scaling and growth. Pamela, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Natalie, for having me.
So before we get started, I just want to hear a little bit about your background and how it led you to start Case Control.
Sure. So we started from an organic need. My background is in systems engineering and operations research, which is the science of efficiency. And my husband, who is my co-founder, Dr. Ashwin Dhawan, is an orthopedic surgeon. And he noticed that a lot of his surgeries were either being canceled or mismanaged due to archaic paper-based processes. In fact, he once had a patient come in named Janet, really sweet. We should probably give her some equity. And she came in and she was crying. She's an elderly woman. And she said, you know, Dr. Dhawan, I signed up for surgery with you. I faced my fear of actually getting the surgery in the first place. And I got my son to take a week off, finally figured out everything with insurance, arrived at the hospital early, donned my hospital gown. And then they told me, oh, due to an admin oversight, you're missing a cardiology clearance that's needed for surgery. So your surgery is canceled and you can go home now. You can just reschedule as needed. And she was just floored. And she came in crying months later, one, because she was still in pain, and two, because she still had so much anxiety and almost like a traumatic experience with this. He threw together a MVP of an MVP, you can say, just to streamline his own surgery scheduling practice. And this made sure that patients did not have anything where there was an admin oversight and surgeries went more smoothly. And it wasn't until a couple months later when his hospital admins actually came to him and said, you know, hey, Dr. Dhawan, what are you doing differently than all the other surgeons here? And because it's making you more efficient. And that's when the commercialization aspect of this really came to light. And I got involved because processes and complex enterprise systems is kind of my background. And I was also tired of hearing him complain all the time. And we decided to start Case Control. Mm-hmm. I also went in to do this startup because we hear a lot about efficiency in healthcare and how it's important. And some people have said, you know, healthcare is just inefficient. It's always going to be that way. And even improving the process a little bit, I mean, what is it really going to do? A couple years ago, had a cousin who, you know, she opened a cabinet, she just hit her head and, you know, she had a really bad headache. So she went to the emergency room and she waited there for 5 hours. And she finally said, you know, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling fine. I'm going to go home and maybe I'll come back like another day or make an appointment with my PCP. And she went home, she said goodnight to my aunt, went upstairs and laid down. And that's kind of how we found her, or they found her the next day. She had had a subdural hematoma and she passed away. And I couldn't help but think, you know, 5 hours, if we had been able to improve that process and make that more efficient, and she had been seen in 3 hours or 2 hours, would she still be around? And so that efficiency aspect, I don't just love efficiency because that's what I researched, you know, and I studied. It really does make a difference. And that's another reason why we said, yes, let's do this startup, because improving efficiency, it'll either help a patient have less anxiety, which is a huge thing, or it'll help them or their families have less anxiety or worry about them. But maybe it can also help the surgeons who are burning out currently and their teams who are burning out currently. And I saw, you know, with case control that it saved my husband like 45 minutes per day. And initially I had just wanted him to come home with his saved time and like do the dishes so I didn't have to do the dishes. But then it turned into, you know, he can actually put our daughter to bed. He can actually say goodnight to her before she goes to sleep. And so just all of that experience, like with family, with my cousin, and just seeing that from my husband's side, that's another reason what really pushed us to start the startup.
That's great. I think, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss, but it's so incredibly special that you get to have that as a driving force and honor her in this way, to hopefully prevent something like that, you know, happening to somebody else too. So thanks for sharing that. And yeah, it definitely seems to make that difference. Even just that 45 minutes makes the difference in a day of 24 hours only. So really special stuff. So how does the technology actually work, and how has it evolved too from when this general idea to what it is now?
Great question. So we brought on our, my Ashwin's childhood friend of 30 years, Sachi Roy, as our CTO, and he's just done such a great job with the technology. So what we do is we use AI and automation to streamline surgery scheduling workflows and automate, yet keep personalized a lot of the information and messages and communication that go out to patients, to other surgery scheduling centers, to hospitals, to vendors. So we have three people who actually log into the system, which is the surgeon, the scheduler, and also the admins, practice admins. But we have a lot of touch points. So what we do is now, instead of a surgery scheduler having to email every single vendor every time there's a change, or have 28 calls per surgery with a patient, or email and spend almost 8 hours scheduling a surgery, now all of that is done in less than 1 hour with case control. So we've automated a lot of that. Another thing we've done for surgeons, which makes us different than a lot of our competitors, is we have a patent pending AI technology where, similar to how if you're writing a sentence in Google, an email, it says autocomplete. We basically autocomplete 8 pages per surgery for every surgeon. So now, instead of spending all that time writing out every single preference that they want, it's done automatically in about 3 clicks of a button. And, you know, some people at first didn't understand, well, what's the big deal? They just have to write information out. Well, it's not just that. It is, the information is now available in the cloud for everybody to use. So just because one surgeon is doing a knee surgery and another surgeon is doing a knee surgery doesn't mean that they're using the same equipment. They've been trained at different schools. They're trained on different brands of equipment. They have different preferences for post-care. They have different vendors that they have relationships with. So there's actually 150 data points that are required to be communicated from the surgeon to the team for every surgery to go smoothly. And if even one of those is miscommunicated, that can delay or cancel surgery, costing about $7,100. So we've come in and we have streamline that entire process.
It's funny you bring up the autocomplete on Google. Any Gmail user, especially me, knows and loves that kind of automation. But yeah, with healthcare, it definitely seems like, I mean, you're specifically focused on these surgeries, but there's so much opportunity and so many moving parts for innovation in this. So for, you know, creating this company and your business plan, how much research did you and your husband and your whole team really have to do to make sure you're covering all of your bases and all of the moving parts in this process?
So it helps that we have a subject matter expert on the team. And then I also have some experience in being an IT project manager in the healthcare setting. So But we still have to do so much research. First, we started with researching about, hey, what tools are currently out there? And, you know, Dr. Dewan, he looked at some demos of other, let's say, who are currently now our competitors, but nobody really took into account the most important or expensive resource in the entire surgery scheduling process, which is the surgeon. So we searched and searched, and we also looked to see if we could use multiple vendors to fill in multiple gaps. And some people addressed the scheduler part, but then there were some companies that didn't address any communication with the patient. So it's a lot of haphazard things you can put together to try to make it work. And we decided, you know, there needs to be a better way to do this. There needs to be a better way to help surgeons, to help schedulers, to help patients have a great experience. Essentially, if you look at it, taking a step away, surgery is the highest revenue generating event for any hospital, clinic, or private practice. And your patients are essentially your customers, right? So you need to give them the best patient experience. Now, the reason we went into this personally is to give patients a better experience and to make life better for them. But we found along the way that, hey, not only do we increase surgical revenue by keeping track of patients earlier in the process, decrease the admin burden by 75% for all of these people involved, but we also make it a better experience for the patient in general and allow surgeons and teams to cultivate rewarding relationships with these patients, which at the end of the day is really important. Somebody's life is in your hands. So that was one of the reasons we really wanted to start this, is make the patient more comfortable and have more confidence in their surgeons.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it's that win-win-win type of technology. I wonder, you know, now that you've got this, you know, new technology, and I'm sure you're in that process of introducing it to people who might be able to adapt it. And I know healthcare in general has not always been the quickest adapter of new technologies. So what sort of feedback are you getting when you introduce this idea to people who might actually benefit from it and if they incorporate it in their system?
Oh, great question. So the first question we usually always get is, doesn't my electronic health record or electronic medical record, EMR, do this already? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really depends on one, which EMR you have. So larger systems usually have an EMR called Epic or Athena. And it's different at each location, but EMRs are great for storing information and entering the surgery details once a surgery's been finalized. But we have noticed that this surgery scheduling process right now is currently manual and paper-based, and it takes place outside and prior to entry into the EMR. So that's the first question we get. And so that leads to another important question. So when we tell them that, hey, you can use our system as a standalone system and it will still bring you a lot of value, that has been great for small private practice clinics, but for larger clients, they really want integration. So we've made sure that, you know, that their feedback actually helped us focus more on bringing the integration part up on our product roadmap. So right now we can either stand as a standalone system, we can integrate on top of an EHR, EMR, as a third party through a third party called Redox or LK, or what we're working on now, which is one of the better ways, is we are working to get into the Athena app store or the Epic app store so that our customers can open us up right in their current EMR. So no integration is required. They can literally just open us up from their current menu.
I wonder, you know, most of my interviews and podcasts over the past 18 months have had this COVID lens. And I think this is a very particular concept. So many elective surgeries were, you know, pushed back due to COVID. So how has that affected your business? And I mean, it almost seems like there's a greater need for this optimization with so many elective surgeries piled up and backlogged at hospitals and specific practices.
So we initially thought, oh my goodness, we're launching and COVID had started and surgeries were stopping. So initially our gut reaction was, what are we going to do? How is this company going to take off? But COVID has had some silver lining for us, even though it is terrible. But what happened was everybody realized, hey, what do I do when I have to process this backlog of information? How do I catch up? And it wasn't just everything shut down once and then it was opened. It was shut down, open, shut down, open, stop, go, stop, go. And it was very confusing for a lot of our customers. And that helped us because they realized the need for automating and streamlining their practice. And they realized that instead of spending another 4 hours trying to coordinate with patients and vendors, they could literally just do it with a click of a button and surgery scheduled. With a click of a button, you can put a surgery on standby. We also have a dashboard now where they can keep track of every surgery, what's happening, what's the status, what latest steps were taken, who's been informed, who hasn't. Whereas before, they were really relying on phone calls or emails, even within their own surgery scheduling team. And we've even seen post-it notes and sticky notes to communicate this information. So some surgery schedulers also didn't want to come back into the office. And it was hard to communicate where they had left off. And so instead of doing that detective work with case control, it was easy to see on the dashboard who has left off where, and it was easy for anybody to pick up that work for them. So that was actually when we started getting our most loyal customers. Because they said we had created such a positive impact for them, not just for them, but also as surgeons, but also as surgery schedulers, they had happier teams. So happy teams, happy surgeons, happy patients is what we believe.
Well, one of the reasons I really wanted to, finally talk to you is because you're no stranger, and Case Control is no stranger to the Houston innovation ecosystem. Of course, you were one of our inaugural finalists for the Houston Innovation Map
Award. That's an honor. Congrats on a great event, by the way.
Thank you so much. And, you've also been a semifinalist at Venture Houston. I just have to run through it all. You've been in a G Beta Houston cohort. So you're really, I know you've been busy in the Houston innovation ecosystem. What's on your plate right now, now that you're past these huge accomplishments and, even accelerators? Do you have more accelerators in mind? Are you seeking funding? What's on top of mind for you right now?
Well, currently we are right in the middle of our TechStars Accelerator program, and GBeta really helped us get there. So GBeta was more of the pre-accelerator program. We didn't know anything about fundraising before we got to GBeta, so a huge shout out to them. And right now we are also about to close out our pre-seed round for funding, and we're going to do a huge hiring push. We are already interviewing people. So currently it's a TechStars program and hiring push, just growth. And also we're finally reaching that place where we are ready to scale as in terms of even the product. So the product is finally ready to scale and not just be with small private practice clinics anymore. And then hopefully in the near future, I'll be able to announce our first enterprise client signed with us. And we're just waiting for things to finalize there, and we'll be able to announce that partnership.
Well, you absolutely have to keep me posted for sure on some of these things.
The first one.
Great. Well, and just of note, because it does seem like you have made the most of the Houston innovation ecosystem. What has it been like, being a healthcare startup here in Houston? Obviously, there's lots of opportunities with the Texas Medical Center. So I just wonder, what's been your pros and cons of this startup here in Houston?
Yeah, so I think definitely a lot more pros. In terms of not just being a healthcare startup, but I find that the community here is diverse and most importantly, supportive. So, we are in the Texas Medical Center, and initially when we started, we were saying, hey, is it a pro or a con to be in Houston? Because there's so much competition here. There's a lot of healthcare startups. There's TMCX. There are all these hospitals. Will they take us seriously? But we realized that the community in Houston, even if, you know, we were able to get through G-Beta, like one-on-one mentorships with a lot of the C-suite execs in healthcare companies and in healthcare systems as well, they really want to help you succeed. And I think one of the greatest pros is that spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit here, and just the spirit of we want to help others succeed. It's not just about us succeeding. So that has created a wonderful support system of not just the number of mentors in this ecosystem, but the quality of mentors in this ecosystem. And I think we're really lucky to have started out in this ecosystem as well. There's a lot of accelerators here. There's also other programs which people from across the US and world apply to. There's also the Ignite Healthcare mini accelerator pitch competition. And we're a semifinalist taking part in that. And it's wonderful because it's not just a push to help healthcare companies, but it's a push to help women in healthcare. So just have a lot of positive things coming out of the Houston ecosystem, and I'm excited to see further development.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you know, further development, you mentioned some integration, you know, adoption and technology that you're working on. When you look at the long road ahead, as most of us do, do you see your technology touching, you know, outside of surgery, or, you know, where is that evolution going in your mind?
So currently we're starting with just the preoperative part of surgery, but our end-to-end vision is really to be able to schedule a surgery seamlessly from beginning all the way till post-op and discharge and to end in seconds instead of taking weeks like it does now. Similar to the travel industry that used to have travel agents many about 10 years ago, we envision a time when, you know, surgery schedulers are more patient-facing and more in the care coordination, and the entire surgical coordination part is managed by an intelligent system, intelligent home like case control. So definitely have a big vision. And but in terms of how to get there, right now we are currently expanding to other surgical subspecialties, so plastics and urology, followed by ophthalmology. And then we're now approaching ambulatory surgical centers and hospitals where we had just previously started with private practices. And then finally, we would be open to working or in talks with working with business intelligence data companies as well, because when we have so many surgeons on our platform, we'll have access to a lot of data such as vendor ratings, surgeon utilization rates, saturation rates of what tools they're using, of their preferences. So we'll also be able to provide vendor ratings and that unique business intelligence data.
I just think about, you know, health tech startups, and obviously I don't cover specifically health tech startups. And so I just love to see, not love to see it, I guess, but like, it's so mind-boggling to me, all the different challenges being in this healthcare space that you have to face. For you, what do you see the biggest challenges being a health tech founder and, you know, growing your company? There's regulation, there's just so many other obstacles y'all face compared to just, you know, like a software startup in a more general space. So what do you see as those big challenges for you and, you know, people in a similar space as you?
So I think technology changes so quickly. And now there's new regulations coming out, which have actually helped us. So luckily we don't require any FDA approval or anything like that. But I think for other med device startups, that is one of the biggest hurdles, is those FDA regulations or other regulations. But for us, I think the biggest part would be kind of what we had gotten feedback from when we were doing customer discovery, similar like what I mentioned, was the integration part. And it's not just with the EHR integration, but in order to truly make this a seamless experience, it's not just about us being able to integrate our technology with all the other technology in the hospital, but also, can we get all of the people to work together? So different doctor's offices have different cultures, different processes, and change in healthcare in general is just very difficult. So we've learned that as much as we're talking about technology here, in order for that to really be a success, there's a lot of emotion that's involved in here as well in terms of user adoption. So we have started spending a lot of time talking to our customers, not just about getting product feedback, but, you know, how is it helping you? Is it helping you significantly? What else would you like to see? How can we make your life easier? And not just from a product standpoint, but sometimes it's a process standpoint, or sometimes, you know, I think that is a challenge that we did not understand when we first started, that it is not just about integrating technology. You have to be able to get everybody to work together. And so far, it's been going well.
It seems like, I mean, all change is a risk. And in the healthcare, at least this is how I see it in the healthcare industry, you know, you are risking people's lives in a lot of cases. So it makes sense that adoption is slower and more thought out, but it does pose for an obstacle for startups really trying to make those big moves right away. So in that same vein, I wonder if you have ever received a really great piece of advice for your health tech startup, you know, path, or, you know, any kind of advice you might have for someone looking to go down a similar route, either something you've gotten or you would like to share for your fellow founders out there.
I think the greatest piece of advice that I learned was from one of our mentors, and it was, don't be afraid to experiment. And that really resonated with me because there was a book I was reading, which was called Be Brave, Not Perfect. And I think as females in general, or even as females in the tech industry, we're trained that, hey, you must put your best work forward. But as a startup, sometimes you have to launch a product before it's perfect. So you can learn from it and get closer to making it perfect. So that was the best advice I received, that don't be afraid to experiment. You'll actually learn a lot from it. And it sounds counterintuitive putting a product out there before it's perfect, but it'll actually help you scale and grow even faster.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because they obviously have done a lot of research into that male-female founder perspective. And one of the things that really stands out in those reports is that, you know, women are much more hesitant to do anything that they're not going to do perfectly. So that's a really great piece of advice. I'm sure will resonate with listeners. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so great to finally get to talk to you after covering all of your accomplishments so far. And I can't wait to cover even more as Case Control goes down its startup journey into the market and everything. So thank you so much for joining me, Pamela.
Thank you for having me, Natalie. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.